You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Turn to the book of Colossians. Perhaps that's a surprise to you. We just spent 5.5 months Sunday morning in the book of Colossians, 4 chapters, going almost word by word, verse by verse, certainly. It's a great book, and you recall with me how that Colossae, which is located in Turkey, was a great, great city at one time, very busy with commerce, wealth. But they began to deny the true God and began to merge the gods of the day and goddesses of the day, Zeus, Aphrodite, Nike, Cynthia, those gods, and began to worship them and merge them with their gods, which is called Gnosticism. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from Christ to another gospel, which is not another." You know, when a church or an individual merges their life with anything but Christ, you always announce your doom. Yes. Jerry worked in Turkey, worked near Colossae. And Colossae today is just totally in ruins. It's covered with dirt. There's some, they've done some excavating, but that great, great city, which is just only 60 miles from the sea, that spent so much time in making money from wool and dyes, and sent it around the world. That's just an empty place. They forgot God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You cannot ex God out of your life and have success. Right. Yes, sir. Christ is the answer.
Amen.
Yes. Today I want you to follow with me as we read in Colossians chapter 1, and there's a reason I'm in this text, verse 16, 17, and 18, and 19. Let's read together. In chapters 1, 16 through 19, say together, pause at the commas, semicolons, and periods. Ready? Begin. For by him, completeness, everything complete that I need in my life is found in Christ.
Amen.
Jeannie and Tish would remember this because this verse I chose in July of 1976, our church was 1 year old and of age, and on our first anniversary, I said, I believe the church verse is going to be that in all things that is carved in this pulpit, he might have the preeminence. He must be number one. Preeminence means supreme, nothing higher. The highest you can go is Jesus Christ. And he says in that text that in all things, verse 18, he may have the preeminence. On this 49th anniversary, I want to come to you on this subject, on this subject of preeminence. Because today, if you'll tell me who is preeminent or what is preeminent, that tells me where your life is going. I can tell you this, we can get wrapped up in a job that's preeminent. Money, that's preeminent. 401k, that's preeminent. My portfolio, that's preeminent. My success, my business, my control, my toys, my possessions, my this, my that, my belongings, my notoriety, I'm famous, my play, my pleasure, my party life, myself. If it's you've elevated yourself, or if I elevate myself over Jesus Christ, I can tell you, you've just announced your doom. If anyone or anything becomes more important than Christ. That lady right down there, this December to be 52 years we've been married, she's the most important lady in my life, humanly speaking. I believe I could say I'd do anything, and I think she'd do anything for me. We've had such a wonderful journey, but I don't want her to love me more than she loves Christ. And she knows that she is second, not first. Most of you have heard before, through the years, I've told you that I look at my purpose for living every day. It's in my journal. It's all set at letter C, it's Christ. If I cannot make him first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that in all things he might have the preeminence. If I cannot make him primary, I'll never be for her what she needs me to be. If I can get close to Christ, I can fulfill in her life what she needs me and his husband. It's Christ. It's Cindy, my companion. It's our children and 14 grandchildren. It's this church. And I would think that after 49 years, I could show you some scars and worn out knees as I prayed for things around here for your life and been there. I think you can say we've not spent any time traveling the world or anything of that nature. We came here and said, if you'll let me stay 50 years, well, 50 years is up next year and I'm not going anywhere. But nonetheless, I said, if you'll let me stay, I'll give my life to this church. And she's allowed me to do that. Why? Because she knows that Christ is first. As Christ, my companion, our children, grandchildren, this church, this college, it's this college and schools, it is this city, it is this county, it is this California, and it's my co-laborers from around the world that I serve with. That's my priority. That's what gets me up in the morning. What gets you up in the morning? If it's a paycheck, or if it's a portfolio, or if it's silver or gold or things or possessions or this or that, you have made Christ second. The Bible says in this text and on this pulpit that in all things he might have the preeminence. I want you to see that text with me as we begin positionally. Notice that what the Bible says in verse number 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. That in, what's the next two words? That in what? Two words. All things. All things. Go back to verse number 16. For by him were, what's the next two words? All things. Look at, as it goes on, he says in that text, and that are in earth, anything on earth, all things, visible, invisible. And it begins to bring in leadership and government and really even pastoral leadership, whether they be thrones, that is government, or dominions, powers, principalities, people that are in charge, powers. What's the next two words? What's those two words again, one more time? All things. We see it again. All things, all things. For all things were created by Christ, by God. And what? For him. Government's created for God. That's what Romans 13, they're a servant, they're a minister of God. The church is under the authority of God. He's the head. The Bible says, look at verse number 17. For he is before, verse 17. What's the next two words? And by him, all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church. What head means, it's sort of like what the Bible calls the husband's the head of the wife. Doesn't mean he's smarter than a wife. I believe any man that's got a half a brain would say that really, basically, women are probably smarter than men. They can think out of both sides of their brain. I can think out, I'm supposed to be able to think out of one half, but I can get about a quarter most of the time. But women, that's why a man, I'm single focused. I don't know how to cook, but when our kids are young, I could fry an egg. But don't have me do anything else. The toast would never get the same. It would be done and it would get cold and I was still frying the egg. I couldn't get that thing timed out. And I'm never going to admit to my wife I know how to cook anything. Fellas, that's the biggest case of stupids I've ever heard in my life. Do not let her know that you know how to cook. Don't tell her. You don't know how to do anything. Say, would you help me with this dish, with this, I don't know how to do the dishwasher. Help me with the that thing in the, where you put your clothes in. Wash machine. I knew it was one of those things. Don't act like you know what you're doing. You know the story about the washing machine. I've never washed clothes in 50 years, and last year, Ms. Treiber had all these broken bones, never had a filling in her teeth, and never been sick from work, and then she had these breaks and surgeries. And I was doing laundry. I'd get so mad at that stupid little box, I literally almost took a hammer to it. I mean, ours is a basic 1, 2, 3, you know, repeat after, it's easy. It's not computer, it's just 1, 2, 3. But you start filling the water. I know you're supposed to do that, and then you put the soap in or vice versa, whatever. But then you open it up and you put the, it won't let me open it up ever. It locks itself. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Some woman must have thought of that. Just teasing. Come on, chill out, folks. Some man must have thought of that. Why do they do that? I literally almost got a claw hammer. A hammer will fix anything. Remember, remember these tags on clothing, those tags, you break them and ink comes out? Well, when those came out, it had to be 25 years ago. My wife got home from the store and they left the tag on. I said, no problem, I'll take care of it. And I went and I got side cuts and tried to cut it, Brother John. It did not cut. So what's the next tool you always get? I got a hammer. I started beating on that thing on the concrete and beating on it. And I finally got it off. And I held it up, and there was a big hole in the sweater. You know, God's the head. He's the head of the church. He calls us the body. And he goes, in 1 Corinthians, you might be the hand, or you might be the foot. And when the foot gets ticked off and says, I'm sick and tired of being in these shoes, the hand, you write songs about hands. Put your hand in the hand of the man who, beautiful hands. You get a diamond ring, oh, look at my ring. Men don't do this. Men do this. But nonetheless, a lot of biological things I'm helping you with today here. But do you realize no one writes about feet? We write songs about my eyes, but never say, when I looked into your beautiful ear, or your nostrils. We don't write one song. Why? But God says they're all important in the body. Some of you have ministries in this church, you're like the feet, it's hidden. But without you getting it done, it won't get done. And the Bible says here, watch this here, this position, he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, there's that word again, nine times, in these four chapters, and four times right here, all things. God cannot become a sideline. Christ cannot be second in command or third in command or fourth, that in all things he might have, what's the word? Preeminence. That's on this side, right? Preeminence. That in all things he might have the preeminence. He wants to be superior in your life. So ladies say, I don't want my husband to make anything above me. No, I'm number one. Or a husband says, I don't want my wife to have Christ being ahead of her. Well, you're denying the Bible. And that's the problem in America. Blessed is the nation whose God. Ask the Roman Empire. She fell. They said five reasons why she fell. One was high taxation. Two was the collapse of the family. When you collapse the home, you collapse society. When you redefine the home, you're redefining society. And all of a sudden, we don't think right. Our minds are gone because we have violated the Word of God. Go with me. Keep your hand here. And I know I'm supposed to be done, but we'll feed you tonight. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verse 21. Because when they knew God, verse 21, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in the image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. That's why he said, I've got to be preeminent, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even that women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. And then he begins to list the sins: unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers, and backbiters, and haters of God, disobedient, despiteful, and proud, and boasters, and inventive of evil things, disobedient to parents, without natural affection, truce breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. God says, listen, you X me out, you'll do any of these things. That includes me. That includes all of us. Go back to our text and we'll try to wrap it up. Positionally, all things, all things, all things. My checkbook belongs to God. My marriage belongs to God. Our children belong to God. They're a heritage, Psalm 126 of the Lord. And we gave our children to God. We have one in our church, and she's here, and she could tell you we gave our children to God. We have one that's pastoring a church in Arizona, and one that's pastoring a church in Newport Beach, and we gave our children to God. We've given our 14 grandchildren to God. Our one turned 22 yesterday, and she's completing her college and going into the ministry to be a teacher. And one by one, our 14 grandkids, all but the last one, who's only about 4 years of age, but all the way, they all can read, and they're all in high school or graduate from high school, and they get up every single morning and read their Bibles and pray. How'd that happen? Because Christ was preeminent in our lives, and our kids have made Christ preeminent in their life. Amen. Oh, they'll never be rich. They'll never have a big portfolio, those guys in the ministry. And here's our son-in-law. He'll never be rich. I know. I see his paycheck. But Christ is not a sideline with you, Brother Fanera. I heard it when you prayed this morning for our country. You could tell there's a man that prays all these men. If I had any one of them pray, I heard you pray this morning. I know he walks with God. I can hear. I heard it when you preached the other week, Brother Oxen. I hear it with all the men and women I get to serve with here. I know they know God. He has to be preeminent at this church. The only way we're going to make it to the day of Jesus Christ when he comes again is making him preeminent. Yeah. Secondly, I see a person. I want you to see it. That in all things, he. America, we've dethroned God. And this world is jockeying for power. This world is jockeying for power. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, Russia seized Crimea. That was an important siege for them. They had to have it. They began a couple years ago seizing Ukraine. Why is that so important? They don't have that largest landmass area in that area. Second is Ukraine. But though they have the great waters above them, those waters cannot be used for commerce and for invasion of any other country because they're frozen almost 12 months out of the year. And so they have to get the Black Sea. And the Black Sea is that for business and commerce, but wait a minute. It puts them close when they get through the Black Sea to a place called Israel. Yes, sir. And Isaiah 38, 39 tells us, why don't we believe God? God says from Russia, they're gonna come in and invade Israel in the tribulation before the great Armageddon war. God said it. That's why they want Ukraine for that Black Sea, which is fresh water. They can get their boats and shipping, and they can get it and put their armaments. They've got them down in Cuba now. Not far from us. But they want to put them facing Israel because the Bible says she's going to invade from the north, from Russia. The Bible says that 200 million are going to, and now China boasts of having 200 million soldiers. They're going to come in from the east. The Bible says that.
Amen.
The Bible says that things are going to turn and Egypt is going to come from the south and invade against Israel. The Bible speaks of how they're coming from the sea, from the Mediterranean, and they're all converging into one place called Armageddon. Napoleon said this will be the place for the greatest world battle that will ever be seen by mankind. It's when God will war against the nations of the world. The next event, Jesus, the Bible says, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall raise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. We're going home to be with Jesus. And then for 7 years on this planet is the great tribulation. You will not be able to buy or sell without a mark of the beast. That's what the Bible tells you. I know the mayor has already got the chip implanted. Not this mayor. You imagine what it's like if you're unsaved and you're here during the 7 year tribulation. There's going to be 21 judgments, the Bible said, on planet Earth. The climate will change. There'll be scorching. There'll be fire. Rivers will be turned to blood. They'll be polluted. That's why in the Bible says in one day, seven women will take hold of one man and say, we remove our shame. It was a shame in Eastern time not to be married. It's not a shame not to be married today. But they said because of that, there's all, one third of the men have died. They're gone. We want your name. Seven women will take hold of one man and say, we want your name. We won't want your money. We don't want your clothes. We want anything you want to give us. We just want your name, that we be no more a reproach. We don't want people to look down on us because we're not married. Why don't we believe the Bible? Why don't we believe what God's word says? This person who is called Jesus Christ, who wants to be preeminent and needs to be preeminent, should not have to beg for it. I close. Not only do I see positionally and personally, I see the preeminence. He might have the preeminence. Can you imagine a nation this morning? If every one of us, our 385,000 churches in America, that's all denominations, I know. If we made Sunday a special day for God again, I'm not talking about some foreign country. I'm not talking about another state. I'm talking about California. I grew up 1953 when we moved back here. I've been here a long time. And when I was a boy in Centerville, which is now Fremont, you could not buy gasoline on Sunday. Nothing was open. The Shell station right down the street wasn't open. The Flying A station was not open. The Mobile station was not open. They were closed on Sunday. No gasoline on Sunday. You could not go to Lucky's. We had a Lucky and we had a PX. Not had anything to do with the military. The PX stores. They weren't open on Sunday. Sears wasn't open on Sundays. Montgomery Ward's wasn't open on Sunday. You didn't go places. Cloverdale Creamery wasn't open to get milk on Sunday. Because we used to believe in America, Sunday's the Lord's Day, a holy day, not a holiday.
Yes, sir.
That's why you see in professional sports, baseball games, when they start to play on Sunday, they had to play after the morning service and before an evening service, and that's why some of those records, they end in a tie. Sunday used to be special. I recall my dad, Montgomery Ward's out of business now, so I can say this. They came to my dad and said, now, Gubby, my dad, Gottlieb, you're going to have to start working Sunday afternoon from 1 to 5. He said, I got a family. I take my kids to church. They said, aren't you home by 1? He goes, we are, but the kids are going to the rest homes visiting people. But they said, well, just work those hours. He said, I'm not working on Sunday. He said, I'll never forget him. You're our top salesman. And if you don't work Sunday, we're going to let you go. He goes, well, let me go right now. I've given Sunday to God.
Amen.
You know, it's preeminence. It means that Christ is above and all. Wouldn't it be something if every church had Christ preeminent, and dads, we were, and husbands, Christ preeminent, mother and wife and children? Not success, not wealth. And it can happen. I'll close my Bible to give you hope that we're about 3 hours away from finishing. Brother Raphael sent me this clip of the president of El Salvador. I said it a few weeks ago. He took a country over 5.5 years ago. That was the most unsafe country of the world, so it was declared. Drug trafficking, murder, people getting away with it. And they said, you have turned it into the safest place. How'd you do that? I heard his own voice say this. He said, the first thing we did, we turned to God in prayer. The second thing he said we did, we arrested the criminals. And third thing, he says, we never have a meeting without having prayer. We gather together, we need God's help. Christ wants to be preeminent. It begins with salvation. Salvation is not joining a church. God's word says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, born a sinner as a baby, because the Bible says it's been passed upon me from Romans chapter 5, verse 12, my parents, my grandparents, from all the way back to Adam. I was born alienated away from God. God says, you're a stranger, you're a foreigner, you're a sinner, you're not part of my family. But Jesus came and he died on the cross for my sin. And Jesus became sin for us. He took our sin that we, the sinner, might be made the righteous of God through Christ Jesus. The baptism doesn't save you. The church doesn't save you. Good works doesn't change you. Getting rid of alcohol doesn't save you. Getting rid of drugs doesn't save you. Becoming a moral person, paying your taxes doesn't save you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. If you're trying to make Christ preeminent without being saved, you're starting off wrong. It was 1956 that I realized I was a sinner. I knew my condition. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was going to go to hell. No one had to tell me. On that Sunday night, I'll never forget being in church, walking down, and a lady showed me how to be saved. I was a young boy, and she showed me how to be saved. Her husband was superintendent of schools here in San Jose. I'll never forget when I was led to Christ. My life was changed. I could no longer sin without being convicted. The Holy Spirit moved within me. I could no longer lie to my mother or dad without being convicted. Because when you get saved, the Holy Spirit lives within you to guide you and to teach you and to correct you and to instruct you. Amen. See, I don't think I can live the Christian life. You're right, you cannot, but that person that comes and invades your life and lives within you, he'll keep you straight. Yep. But for those that are saved, it's so easy to dethrone him that he wants preeminent. Don't dethrone him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, there's so much I'd like to say more, but I've said enough. These people have been so good and patient with me this morning. I thank you for this great verse on this pulpit, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Lord, I want to today on this anniversary, yield myself to you. It's so easy to lift ourselves up and dethrone you, our pride. I'm talking about the pastor, Lord, my pride, self-will. I'm going to win my independence. So easy to dethrone you. God, speak to hearts today about salvation. May this be the day of salvation. Speak to folks today about placing you on your throne and high and lifted up.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.